morning, Next Level Church. My name is Joseph McMurray, and I'm one of the pastors here at Next Level. And it's a joy for me this morning to get to open God's Word and share with you. So before we do that, I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to join your heart with mine, and let's pray to God together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I worship you this morning, God, and I'm humbled by the privilege that it is to stand on this stage before this body of believers and to proclaim your Word. God, this morning, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds, God, that you would allow us to see clearly, that you would allow me to speak clearly, Father, that we would hear from you clearly and see through your Word this morning, God, that you are alive and well, living and active, that you love us, and that you are interested in everything that is going on in our lives. God, may you be glorified in this place this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, Pastor Clay began this series that we're walking through called Soundtrack. And the question is, what does your life sound like? Pastor Clay said that God wants to walk with us before he works through us. And the idea is this, that God is at work in each of our lives, but we need to live with the conscious awareness of God's presence in our lives. What I took away from Clay's message last week is that I need to pay attention to the soundtrack that God is playing. Sometimes I feel like I have a soundtrack, like there's a strip on the edge of my life where sound is recorded, and it's as though I can run the tape back in my mind and watch the scene again. I don't know if this happens to you or not, but sometimes I'll be driving down the road and a song will come on the radio, and no matter where I am, no matter where I'm going, when I hear a song, my mind is immediately transported back to some place in time, either where I heard that song or where I was with others, and it's like rewinding the tape and watching. Does that happen to anyone else or just me? Well, if it's just me, I'm going to share a little bit with you of just some of these random occurrences from which I might hear a song and that song just takes me back. The first one is actually a song by Tom Petty called Wildflowers. Listen to this. So I can be driving down the road, going anywhere, and this song comes on, and in my mind, I am immediately transported to the backyard of my friend Curtis, who I went to high school with. Curtis's family had some woods behind their house, and Curtis had built his own cabin back there in the woods, where there may or may not have been some misbehavior that took place. I can neither confirm nor deny. But when I hear Wildflowers, man, I'm immediately taken back to that place. Here's another one. Some of you who went to high school when I did are like, oh yeah, we can listen to this all day, right? Dave Matthews Band, Ants Marching. When I hear this song, doesn't matter where I am, doesn't matter what I'm doing, in my mind, I'm immediately transported to the driveway of the house where I grew up, and I'm shooting hoops with my dad, listening to this song on a cassette tape playing out of a boombox on the hood of a car. And my dad says to me, and I quote, "That band will never make it." Those of you who know the Dave Matthews Band know the success that they have experienced over the last couple of decades. And then finally, I'll share this one with you. My wife was in the first service and was mortified. She's not in this service. She won't come back. It doesn't matter where I am or where I'm going. When I hear this song, I am transported in my mind to the fellowship hall of the very conservative church in which my wife and I were married. I get band dancing in the fellowship hall, but my brother-in-law, who's a DJ, didn't care, and he played this song, and much to the mortification of my new bride, we danced in the fellowship hall of this very conservative church that had band dancing in their fellowship hall. Can you think of similar moments in your own life? Moments in which you are immediately taken back when you hear a particular song. It's fun, isn't it? Well, it could be fun, unless those moments that you're taken back to are not ones that you remember fondly. I have some of those as well. I also have moments in my life where there may not necessarily be a song associated, but when I'm transported back to that place in my mind, I know without a doubt that God was there in that moment. For instance, I could tell you the spot where I was standing and who I was standing with when the phone rang in 1997 and I was informed that my father had been diagnosed with cancer. I'll never forget that moment because I had never experienced that level of terrified in my entire life. But it was odd because at the same time, in that same moment, I experienced a level of peace that I had never known before. And it was my faith in God and my belief that I can trust in Him. I know that God was with me in that moment. I've experienced the birth of three boys. And in each of those scenarios, I've experienced the presence of God. Now let me just clarify that when I experience birth, it is from behind the left shoulder of my wife. That's been my spot for birthing. But once they put the babies in my arms, new dads, that's my recommendation to you. Once they set those babies in my arms and I could feel and touch and experience this little creation, Lisa and I knew that God was with us in those moments. And in the summer of 2016, a beautiful 17-year-old girl chose life and placed her baby in Lisa's and my arms, and Eliana was grafted into the vine of our family. And as we wept over the sacrifice that this young lady made, and we wept over the joy that we had because our prayers had been answered, I knew without a doubt that God was with us in that moment. It's easy for us to look back on the big moments, both good and bad, and there are many, and recognize that God was there. But what about every day? What about in the day in, day out, mundane, regular days like last Tuesday that seem to have no significance at all? See, the reality is that God is just as present in those moments, whether we recognize His presence or not. Here's the thing. There's a very real enemy in this world. Jesus tells us about him in John 10. 10, he says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have that life to the full." This enemy is adamantly opposed to our joy and our hope and our peace. And this enemy does everything he can to make us forget that God is with us. He does everything he can to make us believe that we are responsible for our own protection, our own provision, our welfare, and our success. And when we buy the lies that the enemy is telling, we depend on ourselves for those crucial elements. And then we are robbed of the satisfaction that's only found in life with God. See, the enemy doesn't want us to be reminded that God is with us. He's happy for us to cruise through life on our own, numb to the presence of God and oblivious to God's pursuit of a relationship with each one of us. And don't miss that, because wherever you are on your spectrum of belief this morning, there is a real God who is the creator of the universe, who made you and knows you and loves you and every day is pursuing a relationship with you, whether you have turned to Him at this point in your life or not. But our enemy doesn't want us to recognize that pursuit. Why? Because if we recognize that God is with us, not only in the big moments, but in the everyday moments, then we'll discover more about about His love for us. And you know what happens if we discover more about His love for us? Then we may figure out our true identity as sons and daughters of the King. We may figure out that our identity in Christ has nothing to do with what we do, but everything to do with who we are because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. As I said a couple of weeks ago, we might just figure out that in Him we are forgiven and free and fulfilled, and that by faith Jesus lives through us. See, there's something that happens when we understand what we have been given. When you are recommended by someone else for a job promotion, or when someone appreciates your service and refers you to someone else, or when you have a significant need in your life and someone comes through for you, your response is to be thankful. Your response is to have gratitude. Something happens when we realize what we have been given. We become grateful. If you don't hear anything else I say today, if you walk out of this building and completely shut me off right now, I want you to catch this and don't miss it. When we recognize the presence of God in our lives, the response that makes sense is gratitude. When we recognize the presence of God in our lives, the response that makes sense is gratitude. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. It's short. I'm going to read it again. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. The book of Colossians, from which we just read, is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the followers of Jesus who lived in a town called Colossae. Christianity faced one of its most severe challenges in Colossae because of the complex and confusing intellectual climate that existed there. What had begun well, Christianity, faced a major threat to its very existence. False teachers were urging people to move away from their Christian roots and accept other religious ideas. Sounds nothing like what we experience today, does it? No, it does. It's exactly like what we experience today. Y'all ready? Paul's letter to the Colossians encourages believers to continue in the faith. His letter is full of teachings about the person and work of Jesus Christ and living in Christian relationships. So Paul ends this letter to the Colossians in the very same manner that he opened the letter, by saying, devote yourselves, meaning to persist in. He said something similar in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when he said, pray without ceasing. Devote yourselves to prayer. Persist in prayer. Don't stop praying. Live a life of prayer. The Colossians were to pray with mental alertness. That is, an awareness of God's activity in the details of their lives. And they were instructed to pray with a thankful heart, gratitude. The Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible says that gratitude is a natural expression of thanks in response to blessings, protection, or love. This idea of gratitude is a joyful commitment of one's personality to God. Joyful commitment of my personality to God. When we look back and read the Old Testament, gratitude to God was the only condition in which life could be enjoyed. For Jews, when they received good news, they thanked God for His goodness and great deeds. An example of this is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Beginning in verse 7, under David's leadership, the Ark of the Covenant had been moved from where it was into the tent that had been prepared for it to rest in Jerusalem. And on that day, David gave Asaph and his fellow Levites a song of thanksgiving to the Lord, which said this in verse 8. give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him. Yes, sing His praises. Tell everyone about His wonderful deeds. When the Jewish people received good news, their response was gratitude, thankfulness. Check this out. When they received bad news, they also gave thanks, trusting that He was a just God. We see this in the story of Job. If you ever want to be thankful for your own life, go read the book of Job. Job learns that pretty much everything that he owns and cares about, every person in his life whom he loves, has been taken away. And in Job chapter 1, verse 21, he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. When they received good news, they were grateful. When they received bad news, they were grateful. So what does this tell us about these ancient people? It tells us that they did life with God. They were aware of God's presence in their lives. They were aware that God was up to something, even if that something wasn't exactly what they had hoped that it would be. And as a result, they were grateful. The Psalms in the Old Testament are a soundtrack through which the people of Israel thanked God for His faithfulness to His promises. There are several promises that stand out in the Psalms, and we're gonna blaze through these. The first one there on your notes page is deliverance from enemies. Psalm 18:17 says, He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who had hated me and were too strong for me. He goes on to say, they attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me. Why? Because He delights in me. They were thankful that the Lord delivered them from their enemies. Secondly, we see in this soundtrack of the Old Testament gratefulness for forgiveness of sin. Psalm 32:5 says, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. The Psalms tell of gratefulness for God's answers to prayer. Psalm 28:6, praise the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord has answered my prayers. The response is grateful. Next, we see gratefulness, gratitude for compassion toward those in need. Psalm 72:12 says, He will rescue the poor when they cry to Him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. The Psalms tell of gratitude for God's executing justice. In Psalm 99:4, it says, Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established fairness. You have acted with justice and righteousness throughout Israel. And they express gratitude for God's continuing guidance. Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. The people of Israel were aware of God's presence in their lives. And as a result, they were grateful. They were grateful in the good times. They were grateful in the bad times. Why? Because they knew that God was up to something. They were aware of His presence in their lives, and it resulted in gratitude. Now, in the New Testament, we see something very similar. The object of thanksgiving in the New Testament is the love of God that is expressed in the work that Jesus did on the cross when He shed His blood and gave His life. When we read the letters of Paul, Paul thanked God for the gift of grace. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, Paul says, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. The Apostle Paul thanked God for the ability to preach the gospel. 2 Corinthians 2, 14, he says, but thank God, He made us His captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Paul thanked God for spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. After Paul has explained the gifts that are given to all by the Spirit in chapters 12 through 14, he thanks God for the gift that he has been given when he says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you." Maybe a little arrogant, but that's all right. Paul recognized the presence of God in his life, and he was grateful. And then we see that Paul thanked God for love and faith among believers. We see this in Philippians chapter 1 when Paul says, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God." We also see this in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, where Paul says, "Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you, and you are free from your slavery to sin. You've become slaves to righteousness." This expression of gratitude to God for his activity in our lives is closely linked to the response of faith. And Paul encourages believers to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." And on and on and on, much of Paul's teaching and instruction is for believers to express gratitude to God for all that he has done and for his presence in their lives. See, Paul anticipated that believers would be active participants in their faith. Not passive bystanders, but active participants, praying without stopping, living a life that is devoted to prayer, that we might draw close to him. Paul anticipated that believers would be active participants and would be witnesses to the active involvement of God in their lives. So the question for you is, how do you recognize God in your everyday? Are you aware of what God is doing when you're not even watching? I think about this from the perspective of protection and provision every day. Am I aware of the car that came through the intersection half a second after I made it safely through? No. Am I aware of what God is doing behind the scenes to support my family and me, the decisions that are made about my employment that I know nothing about? No. Are you aware that God is working in your life day in, day out, even when it's not a big moment like the birth of a child? God is at work. What I want you to see is that God is with you at all times, and God is for you at all times. Priscilla Shire is a talented author and speaker whose focus is on women, but her teaching always has an impact on me as well. My wife, Lisa, is currently doing one of Priscilla's Bible studies called Discerning the Voice of God. When I told Lisa what I was going to be speaking about today, and this idea that even when we are not aware, God is present and working in our lives, Lisa grinned at me a little bit. It was like she knew something. She said, "I just heard something about this very same idea." And she shared with me something that she had learned from Priscilla's teaching. See, Priscilla was having a conversation with her 8-year-old son. And the conversation was essentially a mother speaking life into her son, telling him that he could be anything he wanted to be when he grows up. Rather than try to explain to you, I'm just going to let you watch Priscilla tell it, because she tells it a whole lot better than that. Page after page, chapter after chapter, story after story, detail after detail, God is weaving together a masterpiece with your life. Now, it may not always feel like God is directly involved in the details of your life, but listen, just because it doesn't feel like God is with you doesn't mean he isn't. He tells us so himself. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7, says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. Verse 17 continues, how precious are your thoughts about me. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Friends, when we recognize the presence of God in our lives, the response that makes sense is gratitude. One step in recognizing the presence of God in our lives is actually having a relationship with God through Jesus. You can begin a relationship with God today by trusting in Jesus alone as the only way to the Father. Jesus said himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Trusting in Jesus means understanding that there is nothing you can do to satisfy the debt of sin that you owe. The only way for your debt to be paid was by a perfect sacrifice. So when Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross, he paid the debt that we owe by dying the death that we deserve. And as we'll celebrate in a month from now, death could not hold him. He defeated hell and the grave when God raised him from the dead. Jesus came back to life, and he is very much alive and well today. And the choice is yours to follow him. What I'm talking about is not sin management. It's not behavior modification. What I'm talking about is life change. That's only possible by turning away from sin and living a life of obedience and devotion to God. Here in just a few minutes, as we conclude, there'll be a team of folks standing down here to my right and your left, who would love to talk with you about what it might look like for you to take your next step in following Jesus. For those who are walking with the Lord, how can we begin to recognize the presence of God in our lives? I know it seems obvious. It's what Paul told us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Pray. There is no better way to draw near to God than through prayer. Jesus set the example for us. When Jesus wanted to draw near to the Father, he slipped away by himself and spent time in prayer. We can all testify that when we are intentional about praying, we feel closer to God. Mark Batterson, a pastor at a church in the Washington, D.C. area, has written books regarding prayer. He says, we don't doubt the Lord's ability to keep the planets in orbit, but we have a difficult time believing he can keep our lives in orbit. The truth is that we already trust God for the big things, but now we need to trust him for the little things, like healing our cancer, getting us out of debt, helping us conceive, or helping us find soulmates. He says, I'm certainly not suggesting that any of these situations are small. They're giant mountains to us, but prayer can turn them into more. Friends, when we pray, when we're devoted to prayer, and we keep praying, and become aware of what God is doing in our lives, the response that makes sense the most is gratitude. So today I want to conclude with a challenge. I want to challenge you to put Colossians 4, verse 2 to work in your life. Put it into practice. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. For the next 6 days, I want to challenge you to be very intentional about prayer. Write some things down that you want to pray about. Write down the needs in your life. Maybe your need is just to understand God's love for you more. Write it down. Ask God to show you his love for you. Maybe there's some way in which you need God to come through for you. Write it down. Pray over it. devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And then be alert for those things that God is doing in your life without you even being aware. And when you're aware of what He's doing, the response that makes the most sense is gratitude. So here's the action challenge. As you go about these next 6 days and devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart, I want you to share it with the rest of us. Joseph, what do you mean? If you use social media, take this challenge this week to look for with God moments and post them on social media. The things that inspire you, the ways in which you recognize that God is actively at work in your life. Post them on social media. Hashtag, I just forgot the hashtag. We put it on the screen. There it is. Hashtag soundtrack NLC. That's the title of this series. Hashtag soundtrack NLC and tag at next level CLT. Here's an example. This beautiful little girl is an everyday reminder that God is at work, even when we are not sure. This is my daughter Eliana. We don't know what God is doing in the scenes behind us. But friends, I can guarantee you that He is at work. And that if we would devote ourselves to prayer, we could become aware of His presence in our lives. And our response will be gratitude. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the challenge for each one of us to devote ourselves to prayer. To pray with an alert mind, recognizing that You're not just with us in the big moments, but that You care about our lives every day. God, You loved us so much that You were willing to allow Your Son to die in our place. Your word tells us even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God, turn our hearts toward You. We might recognize that You are for us, that You are working on our behalf, even when we don't